right, here we go. Welcome to this edition of the Showcasing College Baseball Podcast, powered by College Recruit Prep. I'm your host, Ross Hawley, and I want to thank you for spending some time with us wherever you might be watching or listening from. If this is your first time with us, welcome. Go give us a follow on our Facebook group page at Showcasing College Baseball, or visit us on the World Wide Web at collegerecruitprep.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Armilla Tech, pioneers in sports communication technology. Imagine a world where every play call is crystal clear, secure, and executed with precision. That's the world Armilla Tech has created. Trusted by top coaches across North America, Armilla Tech's innovative electronic play calling system is transforming how football, baseball, and softball games are being played one play at a time. Visit armillatech.com for more information. Now, on to today's episode and guest, C.J. Beatty. That's it. Look him up. Pay attention to him. Follow him, because this man is going to make an extremely positive impact on your life. I know he has mine. Here's my conversation with the one and only C.J. Beatty, the baseball motivator. All right, guys. C.J. Beatty. My friend, welcome to the Showcasing College Baseball Podcast. How the heck are you, man?
Man, doing wonderful. Appreciate it, Ross. You know, anytime you get a chance to, you know, get on a platform and talk about the goods, the greats, the this, the that, I mean, I'm honored, man. So thank you so much for the opportunity.
Heck yeah. Heck yeah. Hey, I'm going to start this, this episode of the podcast with this. Sitting here talking to C.J. Beatty. If you don't know who C.J. Beatty is, you're probably living under a stone at this stage of your life. But yeah, hey, seriously, CJ, I was like, should I put some of his handles? I'm like, just Google his name. I mean, just do that and you'll find him. So, but I want to start with this story. And guys, this is what I want the audience to understand about this man. Number one, he's extremely humble, and I consider him a friend. And it's only he and I've only been talking for probably a little over a month. But I want to start with this, and I want to say this. About 2 weeks ago, I reached out to CJ. I had a scenario that I thought that he could help a young man with, and a kid was down on his luck. Really good kid, down on his luck about the game of baseball. And man, I just wanted to help the kid. And the first guy I think about is C.J. Beatty, the baseball motivator. And guys, I reached out. This was Sunday when I wanted to help this kid. And I reached out to C.J. at 3 o'clock on a Tuesday. And by 3:30, C.J. has a personal video sent back to me to send to this dude. And I want to tell you how much that meant to that family, how much it meant to me. And whoever's listening to this, just know this is who we're dealing with. This is a guy that truly lives for motivating, truly lives for helping others. And I just want to say thank you for that, and big shout out to Elijah. Okay, CJ.
Yeah. I mean, that was E-Money, man. My boy Elijah. He's on his way. He's a special kid, you know, and I'm just so glad that it happened the way that it did, because a lot of times people look at adversity as something that if it happens over and over again, then I must be doing something wrong. But, you know, most great books have a great deal of has a great deal of adversity in it. And I wanted Elijah to understand it's just a part of the process. If you want to be great, that's what you signed up for. It comes with it. So man, at the end of the day, I told him to continue to fight, and I'm excited to see where this kid goes because of the level of adversity that he's surrounded with.
Man, that is awesome, CJ. So I'll tell you what, man, I've followed you for probably, oh man, 5, 6, 7 years. And I have watched you grow so much. And backstory, guys, go follow CJ Beatty on Instagram. Go look for the Baseball Motivator. He's the Motivator Brands. This guy does everything, music, books, everything. But I'm curious, there's so many questions I have for you, but what I really want the audience to know for you, I've just watched you grow so much, and I've watched you just day in and day out inspiring people, and it's super motivational, obviously. But I'm curious about C.J. Beatty, the man, and I want to know a little bit about your background in the game of baseball and how you got to this point in your life.
Man, I grew up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and my parents put me into baseball. My mom didn't want me playing football and getting broken up at a very early age. So like a good husband, my father listened and put me in this thing called T-ball. And I was one of the better players at the league because I knew which direction to run after hitting. other than that, dude, I just took a liking to baseball. I really did. It fit me like a glove. I couldn't put the bat and ball down as a kid, and my parents kept feeding me. Go outside when we get home from practice and still work because I wanted to do it, and they allowed me. I mean, thank God it was before, you know, the video game boom and social media boom, because I don't know if there would be a former professional baseball player in CJ Beatty if all of the distractions were out here. But, you know, my video games back then was just going outside and continuing to dream about hitting a home run, getting my name called on draft day. Those are the things that fueled me as a kid growing up. And I had great role models. You know, on TV, I had Ken Griffey Jr., Derek Jeter, hitting styles my dad crammed and force-fed me, Wade Boggs and Tony Gwynn and Jeff Bagwell and Pete Rose. And, you know, these are the guys that my dad were like, hey, you need to be like these guys, be great hitters. Then Eddie Murray with the switch hitting and all of that stuff. So
a pretty swing.
So, you know, I just grew up playing baseball year in and year out, and God sent a couple of people my way. Well, quite a few people my way that were important in my development, that were important in me getting placed and positioned to continue to rise in youth baseball. So, I kept going with that all the way up to travel ball, and travel ball led me to a national championship with the Greensboro Batting Center here in Greensboro, North Carolina, at 13. And then that leaked over into high school and made a transfer to a better high school to help me out with developing. And I had 65 letters to go to any school in the country for baseball. Chose North Carolina A&T. They gave me a full scholarship, all baseball money. Chose there because they were 25 minutes from my house and they were D1. So I was like, well, this is no brainer with me being a homebody. I continued to excel. I worked hard and took it serious. And I knew that my ultimate goal was to be a professional baseball player. And the St. Louis Cardinals drafted me in 2009, right out of North Carolina A&T my junior year. And I was like, this is it. I don't care what amount of money they give me. I don't care if they give me a hot dog and a bus ticket, I'll take it. I just need to get to that level. But yeah, that's the kind of backstory on me as a baseball player. Played with the Cardinals in the organization for about a year and a half. Then adversity set in for me when I got released, and I was trying to figure out like why. That was a pivotal moment. Like I said about Elijah, great success is going to have to come through the door of great adversity. So I understood that. I signed up for it. Like I said, I signed up for it. I said, I want to be great in life. Anybody that raises their hand and said that they want to be great, if you want to have a great podcast, if you want to have a great business, you want to have a great life, then it has to come through the door of great adversity. It's coming, not just adversity, great adversity. So when I got released, dude, that was some great adversity. I mean, that's something I did my whole life. And when they let me go, I was just kind of like, whoa, this is, you know, what's up? But again, I want to be great. So therefore, I trusted the process, and I continued to push through, push forward, keep my head down and keep moving in the direction of my dreams and goals. And that's when, after baseball was over with, I became a pro scout with the St. Louis Cardinals. I kept my nose clean. I didn't flip tables or anything like that. I didn't burn the clubhouse down or, you know, call out names. I just took it on the chin. And I'm so thankful for that, because at the end of my playing career, they hired me as a pro scout assistant hitting coach in the minor league. So, but in the midst of all that, I became a motivational speaker and really helping people with their mental toughness, the things that I lacked as a player. I want to be able to give that back to the world so the kids, the youth parents, and the youth coaches can understand how to do it at a higher level. So that's me. That's me in a nutshell.
CJ, man, I love that. And, you know, we've talked about this previously, and I always find it kind of funny. I'm in the same boat as you. I didn't make it to the big leagues, and that was devastating to me. Obviously, a different route. You talk about giving back for what you lacked. That's something that I really try to harp on with young players is the game is so tough, and mentally you have to be in such a good place almost all the time, it seems like. Talk to me about why mental toughness is so important for young kids to understand.
It's important for young kids. It's important for everybody, but young kids, because they are our future. And when you say young kids, young athletes, you know, sports don't last forever physically. So whenever you have a situation that pops up that you can't solve physically, the last option is going to be your mental. Where's your mental at in this? Because when you make that decision to go left or right with your decision, that's a mental decision, not a physical. Do I continue to stay? Do I continue to fight? And the reason why I love mental toughness inside of sports is because that's a way, like sports is a vehicle for these kids and these young athletes to learn all these essentials to what's going to save them in life. And I think that if used properly, sports is something that every child needs to participate in, whether it's team, whether it's individual. If you ask me, I say both, so because it gets a different level of mental toughness. I encourage parents to put them in multiple sports, you know, as they grow up, because each sport brings a different mental capacity. And that's great because it's going to help them figure out who they are without even trying. Just introducing them to a different sport is going to help them identify different movements physically, different movements mentally, different emotions, how to communicate better, how to communicate on another level. So I truly do believe that mental toughness is something that should be started at the early ages of 2.
Wow.
Understanding how to take something so complex and put it in a way that's going to allow this 2-year-old to start thinking at higher levels. And if you're intentional about it, it can be done.
Wow. Okay. So here's a question I have for you then, based on that. The CJ Beatty that I'm seeing on my screen, I know this is a podcast, so you're listening, you're watching, but audience, no, we're talking to CJ Beatty here, the baseball motivator, the motivator brands. Here's my question for you based on that, man. You're sitting here right now, grown man, family. I think a lot of people would say you have a successful life. What would you have told yourself when you were going through your hardest struggles as a baseball player? What would you have not necessarily done differently, but what advice would you have given to your younger self?
To read more, to journal more. It was one of those things that I thought it was all about throwing the ball the hardest or hitting the ball the farthest. I didn't know how to really process whenever I would make mistakes, other than I'll try harder next time or I'll show up early tomorrow at practice. But I didn't have a plan at practice. It was just showing up. You know, I had that showing up part down. But the mental toughness side of it is, what are we going to do? What's the plan of attack here? And if I could go back and tell my younger self that, it would just be like, become a student of the game. Like, seriously, CJ, become a student of the game, bro. I'm telling you, it's going to help you out in the long run. You need to be able to read more, ask more questions, understand closed mouths don't get fed. Put your pride to the side and ask questions. Humble yourself. You know, so the that's one thing that I know that if I could go back, I would say, bro, start reading ASAP. Start reading yesterday and start taking notes and studying this game.
I love it, man. I love it. Talking with CJ Beatty here, the baseball motivator. CJ Beatty is, gosh, guys, he's everywhere. And I want to say this. If you go check out his website, cjbeatty.com, CJ, there's a tagline right when you get onto your website and it says, change your life. What does that mean to you, man?
It's a decision. And I want people to think about it because, you know, when my website person asked me, what do I want at the top? I said, change your life. And I told him, and I explained it like this, that statement is me planting a seed in somebody's life that it's not over for you. And whenever you see change your life, I just want it to be thought-provoking enough to allow somebody to dig deeper to say, well, maybe I can change my life on this site. Maybe my life isn't over. Let me see what this guy has to offer. So that's why I strategically ask to put change your life there, because when a person thinks it's over, you're done. But all you need is a crack in the door, or all you need is a direction, or all you need is some wood to make your own door. At the end of the day, if you believe that you're done, you're done.
Man, change your life. Change your life. CJ, I to a guy that is motivates, I mean, it's your job, right? That's your job. You said what you would say, you picked it, right? You are the baseball motivator. So I'm curious to know this. What motivates you, my friend? Like, what motivates the baseball motivator?
I'm gonna go with the most popular answer, but I'm gonna explain why. My family motivates me. When I was growing up, you know, my dad's a truck driver, still is, looking to retire next year or so. I saw the sacrifices. You know, kids see things. And I saw the sacrifices that were made for me to get the equipment, that were made for us to save up and rent a better vehicle to travel to Florida from North Carolina. I seen those sacrifices, and I seen what other people's lives looked like. And it didn't take long for me as I got older, about 12 or 13, to say to myself, you know what? I want to pay my family back. I see what my mom and my dad have sacrificed. And, you know, even though they have those kitchen talks about the bills in front of the kids sometimes, you know, the kids listen, and it doesn't take long for them to start to understand what's really going on.
That's right.
So whenever you hear things, you start to put two and two together. And I did that around 12 or 13, and I started to know that this travel ball thing that they're doing for me is not for fun and games. I started to understand that, yeah, I know I want to be a professional baseball player, but I need to take this serious because it's tough right now financially, but they're making it happen. So at that point, it became not my dream anymore. It became our dream. And they didn't say it. I did. That was something that I made up in my mind. I wanted it to be our dream. So now that I have, you know, my own family, you know, my own wife, my own child, it's the same mission. It's the same goal. Now it's our dream, you know, and, you know, on a deeper level, of course, that's my front line. But on the secondary, it's my community. It's the community. It's like, it's the people that, it's the kids that's growing up, that's wanting help. That's what fuels me. That's what motivates me. You know, for me to get to where I'm at today, Ross, somebody had to step in and say, I want to help. Somebody had to step in and say, I see this. I see something good in CJ. And God sent some connected people my way to say, let's help this guy. So just like the commercials, the paying it forward commercials, I really do love those things because I live those things. When I see somebody that wants to help, that needs help, that's an up and coming entrepreneur that has an idea, but they don't know where to go. They're excited about it, and I can see their excitement, but I can also see their brand is nowhere near where their excitement is. Yeah, I get excited for them, and I get excited to help point them in a direction, because at one point somebody did that for me. So I'll close that question that you asked me. What motivates me is my addiction. I'm addicted to helping people. You know, my addiction is what helps me continue to get up and fight this fight. And you say, well, why is it a fight? Well, because every time you walk outside of your door, you're being faced with people and organizations and things that tell you that you can't do it. That why did you even think about starting it? You know you can't do it. So it is a fight. Everybody's in a fight. But at the end of the day, my addiction fuels me. My addiction is helping people.
Man, that is so well said. And you know what? That's you're living it, man. You're living it. You're so you're available and you're living it, and it's so easy to see. I'm curious, because and most people will shy away from this. I'm not going to. I want to talk about your faith and what that your faith plays in you as who you are and what you've become. Talk to me about your faith, man.
Shoot, man, my faith is everything, Ross. It's the only thing that keeps you going, man. And I would tell it to everybody that's listening today. I'm not a Bible thumper. I'm not somebody that can tell you what is said in this chapter. At one point when I was growing up, I knew the books of the Bible, like the back of my hand, because that was in Sunday school. But right now, I couldn't tell it to you. But the one thing that I understand that remains constant and true in my life is that I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for him. God is the reason why I'm still here. God is the reason why my numbers are doing what they're doing on social media. God is the reason why he has me on this meteoric rise towards greatness is because it's him. And I used to, growing up, shy away from wanting to talk about it. But now one thing that I've learned is if you want peace in your life and you want to be stress-free as much as possible, it's only going to come through that door.
Amen.
It's only going to come through that door. And I'm just thankful that God has blessed me with this platform that doesn't allow other people to dictate what I can and can't say. And I'm just thankful for being able to live a life that can be used to show people the light. So if you're a person today, a mom, a dad, a coach, a business person, just somebody that's looking for success or peace or stress, a stressful life. A more stressful life, man. If you need that, there's only one door that you can go through. Everything else is temporary.
That's right. That's right, man. CJ, always got that proper perspective, man. You know what's crazy is you're like 10 years younger than me, and you've got it way more figured out than I do. And I'm kind of like, come on, dude, figure. But hey, I love it. I love it. Hey, I want to focus on baseball real quick, because Okay. Man, I know that you've got such a good resume in the game. You've been around the game for so long. You know the game at such a high level. So I'm curious to know, what's the best baseball advice you've ever received? Give me some good baseball advice for the guys out there listening. I don't care if it's the young guys, if it's the high schoolers grinding, maybe it's the college kid that's sitting on the bench right now. You motivate people. What is the best baseball advice that motivated you?
Ooh, that's a loaded question, man. Wow. I would say the first thing that jumped out of my mind, I would say from a coaching perspective, which goes down into playing too, but from a coaching perspective, Willie McGee of the St. Louis Cardinals, he pulled me to the side one day and told me to learn how to chew the meat and spit the fat.
Ooh.
And I was like, huh? He said, yeah, you got to learn how to chew the meat and spit the fat. And he went on to explain it by saying, I know you want to take over the world in the most positive way, but sometimes the wisest person doesn't say anything at all. You need to learn how to listen to everybody. If somebody wants to give you advice, you listen to everybody. Mm. And he says, and I said, well, wait a minute, everybody, what if they're not qualified? He says, it doesn't matter. Listen to everybody. Because 90% of what that person may tell you might not work for you or might just be totally crazy. But that 10% could save your life or make you your next million. And when he told me that, it really opened up my perspective to, I am relentless when it comes to listening to people share what they have to share what they have to say, because you never know what they might tell you, that might teach you, that might introduce you, that might connect you. So I took a lot from that as a coach. And I think players need to understand this, and parents need to understand that model too. Chew the meat, spit the fat. Is because too many times we get locked in on, oh, this is my trainer. I only hit with him.
Yep.
This is my pitching coach. I only pitch with him.
Yep.
I only train with this speed and agility guy. I don't want to train with nobody else. This is my guy. I think that's the wrong way of looking at things. You can have your main people, but it's no problem to get feedback and advice from other people. And when you can start to open up like that as a player, golly, going back, Ross, saying what I would have done differently, I would have trained with more people. I would have asked more questions. If Ross was working out there, hey, man, can I come out there and throw with you?
Mm.
Hey, Ross, how do you, like, I know how I do it, but how do you increase arm speed, arm strength? What do you do? Because you could share something with me that I didn't think of that could give me some more miles per hour that could put a scout in my direction. So there's things that I think that right there was one of the most monumental, as you can tell, because that was the first thing that I went to answer this question was chew the meat, spit the fat. Shout out to Willie McGee, my guy.
Love me some Willie McGee. He was lights out on 87 RBI.
Yeah.
You know it.
Yes. Yeah. So, but I would say as some other sound advice that I got, Mike Schilt, my first manager, former Cardinals manager, my first manager in Johnson City, Tennessee in pro ball. When we was out there on the line, you heard me say earlier, like, take notes and journaling. Well, that came from him.
Mm.
I mean, sure enough, before I got to spring training to hear from Albert Pujols, Adam Wainwright, and Yadi, and Tony La Russa, before we heard from all of those greats, the first interaction I had with mental toughness was Mike Schilt on the left field line welcoming all the new draftees to the Cardinals organization. After he said welcome, he said, the first thing I want to tell you is if you can keep a sound journal, you will make it to AA.
Wow.
I mean, here we are in rookie ball.
Wow.
And he threw out a guarantee.
Dang.
And it was crazy because I kept, let's say, a three-quarters journal. Like, I started out on fire, but towards the end, it kind of got a little,
like a New Year's resolution.
You know what happened? Well, I had a three-quarters career with the Cardinals.
Wow.
Where did I stop? High A.
Wow.
And when I look back, and did I follow through with what he said? Nah, kind of. Well, that's why I kind of got there.
Wow. I'll tell you what, man. Why is it just with us, like, baseball players? I look back at myself and I'm like, ego. You know how many times I've hurt myself more because I wouldn't just ask for help? And and that's what I would want to tell young guys listening to you. Something that I wish I could, I hope that I can impart on this younger generation is raise your hand. This is not this is not an ego contest. Ask for help. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room. You don't have to be the toughest guy in the room. You don't have to be that dude. Like, what are your goals? And make sure that your actions are aligning with your goals. Talk to me. What happens in your life when your ego goes away?
Well, I think let's back it up a little bit and see, like, why did we choose the path of ego? It's because of the old saying, 90% of Americans, if not 95% of Americans, are broke. And you'll be like, well, what do you mean by broke? Well, let me drop this on you, this stat. That stat comes back about 10 years ago. That stat came out explaining that if as a household you make under six figures as a household, that's considered broke in America. And 90 to 95% of people, I'm sure, has went up because of cost of living. So if that's considered broke, then what are the other 5 to 10 percenters doing differently? Well, they're thinking differently. The 90% are the ones that are out here coaching our kids.
Wow.
And typically, whenever you are broke financially, in most cases, not all, because there's some successful people, extremely successful people that are janitors that work lower salaries. That's what they wanted to do. So therefore, they are an extreme success. Any person that achieves a goal is a success. So I'm not frowning on anybody that doesn't make a lot of money. And that does not mean that that I'm condoning any of that type of bulliness or craziness.
Yep.
But I'm making this point because I need people to understand that egos is something that is taught. You're not born with it. And if somebody's not going to raise their hand and step up to say that's not the way, then it's going to continue like a disease and spread.
Boy, oh boy.
So Ross, it's not your fault that you grew up like that. It's not my fault that I grew up without mental toughness. It's the world we live in.
That's a fact. That's a fact. And it's,
you know what I'm saying? It's the world we live in. So therefore, how do we change that? It's just like anything else in change. Racism will always be there. It'll never be non-existent, but we can be better with it. We can raise the awareness of it. So what did I do? It's like, what are you doing? What am I doing to help flatten the curve when it comes to egos? Well, I created a baseball and softball and golf motivator brands where we can learn from somebody that's teaching people how to let go of the egos and how it's going to cost you. Instead of saying what we didn't have, what are we doing about it? And I see it now in your podcast. You're giving people a platform to learn how egos is not the way.
Amen.
You know, so that's how we do our part in spreading the awareness and helping somebody else not go through what Ross and CJ went through.
Wow. Man, I hope the young guys, I hope everybody who needs this, I hope they're listening to this. Talking to CJ Beatty. CJ, a couple more minutes with you, man. A couple more questions. I always... The whole ego thing is, I'll wrap the ego thing up by saying this. It feels good to live a life without an ego. And I'm not saying I'm perfect. But it feels good to what you said, to have some peace and to live in peace, man. You want to live in peace. Hey, if you want to play in peace, if you're a baseball player listening to this and you want to have a peaceful career, Jake Rogers said it, big leaguer for the Tigers. Be the most liked guy in the room. Take the ego out of it. Just take the ego out of it. I know this. My life is much more peaceful when my ego is non-existent. Okay, CJ, I want some directed advice with your experience and for all the high school baseball players out there wanting to play at the collegiate level, okay? For the Showcase and College Baseball podcast audience, CJ Beatty, what's your advice to players looking to play in college when they're wanting to play at the next level? What would your advice be?
I'm going to just black and white and just keep it straight up facts, cold, hard facts here. If you're wanting to get noticed in the recruiting process, play at the highest level, play at a higher level, then you need to be better than everybody statistically where you're at. I'm just keeping it real with you because there's phases in this. And when I was a pro scout, I had to get people to understand this. Oh man, he's a piece of work, man. This guy right here is a scumbag. He's this, he's that. Well, I tell you what, if the boy throws 90 plus and he's got some intangibles, I'm at least going to give him a look and I might give him a shot. Now, what he does when he gets the shot is on him. So what I'm trying to tell people that is not that you don't need to be a great teammate, but if you do want to play at a higher level, the highest level possible, if you do want to go play ball in college at any level, especially at the D1 level, if you do want to go play at higher levels of anything, then it's time for you to say, I got to lead in some offensive categories. Mm. I can't just be top five on my team and expect I'm going D1. I can't say I want to play for LSU. And when I look on as a scout, when I look for your name in batting average or home runs or doubles or triples or stolen bases or ERA, strikeouts per walks, all these things that I'm looking for to see your name and your name is not even there, then no, it's time for you to be able to have some type of a adjustment. I'm not saying that you'll never get there, but we got to have some real talks and some real conversations with these players. Because if you want to go anywhere, stats don't lie.
Gosh.
Ooh-wee. If your stats are not there, then you shouldn't think that you're going to be there.
I love it. I love that. And I just think as a former coach, CJ, I think of so many situations, conversations that I would have. And just all off the top of my head, I'm thinking, your son's in the 7 hole in high school. There's nothing wrong with that, but that's not fair for you to have an expectation that your son should be playing at LSU if he's hitting in the 7 hole, 8 hole, getting nothing but fastballs. It's completely different than how they attack the top of the order. I love that answer. What advice do you have for parents of those recruits? What do they need to hear?
I think they need to take their because you naturally have them. You got to take your parent goggles off. You got to take them off. If you can't find them, they're on your face. Take the parent goggles off and go get some unbiased opinions on your child. Don't go to his hitting coach and ask, where do you think? You need to take the video to somebody that doesn't know your son that might be a recruiter. And so they can give you an unbiased opinion about where they think your child should be placed or where they think that your child should enter into the discussion of college ranks. I think that that's the best thing to do. Get some unbiased opinion. Now, listen, one of the things that I am so thankful that I changed up and I'm going to teach it to my daughter, and I'm going to teach it everywhere I go, is I don't want people to run away from constructive criticism. I don't want people to run away from constructive criticism. I want them to run towards it.
Mm.
If a lot of people keep telling you, hey, man, you're not good. If a lot of different people say you're not good, then most likely you're not good. For example, if a lot of different people say that your breath stinks, you can't just keep walking around not doing something about it. Like at some point you got to be like, dude, like this guy don't know who I am. And he's telling me my breath stink. It must stink. So you need to go get some unbiased opinions about your child's game and start there. Because when you can start to compile all of these different feedbacks and suggestions and put it all in one place and look at it, I think you're going to have a real clearer understanding of where your child should enter the college ranks.
Man, CJ, that is brilliant. And it's such beautiful advice. You know what I'm a big advocate of is it's not about where you can't play, but when you go get that unbiased feedback, if we're being honest, I mean, if you're a parent that truly wants to help your kid, you should be asking for that advice, because it's not about where you can't play. It's about where you can play. And the feedback, the constructive criticism, it's meant to be constructive. Just because you don't play baseball at a Division I school doesn't mean your career is over and that you can't have a successful career and that you can't enjoy your time. And we know this post everything. The relationships, the people, the networking, what you do with the rest of your life based on where you went to school, that's what matters. Who cares if it's Division I, Division II, Division III, whatever it is. That's such solid advice to bring in that unbiased, objective opinions. CJ, talking with CJ Beatty here. We're gonna close this up here, CJ. Number one, I want to say thank you. Appreciate you, man. And just keep doing your thing. I love watching. You motivate me. You motivate more people than you'll ever even know. So that's the first thing. Second thing, I just want to say this. We'll finish up. Give us some final words for our audience today.
I would say thank God for your haters.
Yeah.
Thank God for them. Bless their hearts. At the end of the day, man, you know, keep working hard and keep giving people things to hate on. You know, a lot of people people do not hate on people or things that they don't want or want to be like. I'm not going to sit right here and hate on something that I'm like, man, I don't want to do that. Well, why would I hate on it? I'm only going to hate on things that I wish I had.
That's right.
So if you find yourself being a hater, I just told you about yourself. But if you have them, be thankful for them, because that means you're doing something right. Keep pushing for greatness. Thank you, Ross, for this opportunity. And everybody that has listened in, please follow me. We got some amazing things coming out, and please share the information, because by sharing, you're helping me impact more and more people.
CJ Beatty, one of the greats. Thank you, my friend. We'll see you soon, okay?
Thank you.
Again, I want to thank CJ Beatty for taking some time to talk with us today. Go give him a follow on Instagram at CJBeatty44, or just Google him. I promise you will find him. I'm your host, Ross Holly, and on behalf of Showcasing College Baseball, I want to thank you for listening. Be sure to follow the Showcasing College Baseball group page on Facebook or visit us at collegerecruitprep.com for more of our podcasts and content. We will see you next time.